Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Tuesday, a beautiful day in our fair city. Willie Donick is live in Toronto, where the Nashville Predators continue their road trip. They won yesterday in Ottawa. They look to win another game tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Puck drop at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5 The Game. Barry Trotz, Predators GM, who normally joins us at 5, will join us at 4 since we have an abbreviated show today. Willie Donick, you missed absolutely nothing yesterday. How are you?
Oh, I am doing well, guys. It's been great to just dive in on the road, back-to-backs for the first two road games, a little travel in between, and an enormous news story while we were in progress yesterday. How about that?
Hey, you couldn't have asked for a better Monday, could you? You got a win, and you got some news that had people talking in the city.
Well, did you have some FOMO, Willie? Did you wish that you
no,
could just leave?
I did not.
Okay, fine. Fair enough.
Hey, Will, listen. Stay someplace where you're winning, okay?
That sounds good to me.
Exactly.
The Predators, unlike the Titans, are actually winning games. So we'll see what happens with the Predators tonight. Again, they take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. That game starts at 6. Pre-game starts here at 5 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. So who heard or watched Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi's news conference yesterday? I'm sure a lot of you heard it, but in order to capture its true essence, you had to watch it. You had to look at Chad Brinker's face. You had to look at Mike Borgonzi's face. Mike Borgonzi looked like he wished he could be literally anywhere else, okay? Fun fact about me, I've had to have a couple of root canals because of a baseball mishap I had when I was 11 years old. And one time, as I was having one of those root canals, the Novocaine wore off, and I could feel the dentist drilling into my tooth. It hurt like hell. I bet Mike Borgonzi would have done that instead of having to sit up there at that news conference yesterday. He looked like death. To be perfectly honest with you, I can't think of another word to describe it. But Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi attempted to address the firing of Brian Callahan. And Chad Brinker was asked a question that a lot of you have as Titans fans. And I'll just put it plainly. Why the hell should we trust you, Chad Brinker, to lead this team back to, I was going to say prominence, but I'll even just take relevancy or relevance, not even just prominence. I'll take relevance. And here's how Chad Brinker answered that question.
Three of these kind of decisions at this point. Why should fans trust you to be able to get this right based on the plan, since the plan hasn't gone right now three different times?
Yeah, I've been entrusted to do this job. And that's all I can say is we're going to work to get this right. Both Mike and I come from places where we've won a lot of football games. We got a front office that I think between all of us, we got 9 Super Bowls. We've seen what winning football looks like, and we know what that looks like. So we're going to do everything we can to support the staff currently. Our players. It's still early in the season. And there's a lot of work to be done. There's still a lot of football to play. So I think we're just as frustrated as our fans are. And like I said in the opening statement, we're going to get this right. And we're going to build a football program that everyone can be proud of. And we're acknowledging right now it hasn't been good enough. And that's why we're up here answering these questions, because we haven't been good enough. And we're committed to getting better.
So that was part of the response. At one point, he mentioned the 9 Super Bowl rings that the front office has collectively. Anyway, Willie, don't you feel inspired by that? What, if anything, stood out to you about what Brinker and Borgonzi, but mostly Brinker, had to say yesterday?
Well, nothing stood out. There's nothing you can say to inspire where they are right now. They keep finding a new low, like the Delta House and Animal House after the toga party. They hit a new low. So there's nothing you can say. I don't like analyzing what was said. He could have said anything, and it would not have resonated. The dynamic I hit on was what you just mentioned, Adam, was that Borgonzi really didn't take any leadership at all. He kind of deferred. He just kind of sat there for 80% of it. He said very little. Brinker did all of the talking. So I found that interesting. Because I feel like Borgonzi at some point has got to pretty soon take a little ownership, take the lead, or else he's going to be the next guy that they just line up and let go and say it's his fault. Because right now they continue to spin their wheels. They fell into all of the traps that they've been falling into now for a long time. And it's disappointing. And look, I'm not here to judge Chad Brinker. I think he's doing his best to try to set up an infrastructure that works. I'm very, very curious if Amy Adams just showed up whenever they normally talk on Sunday night or Monday morning and said, this is it, I've had enough. I don't know if it was their idea or her idea. I have my suspicion. But it seems like how predictable was this 9 months ago? Very predictable in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything they're doing right now is a surprise to anyone. Brinkert, you know, talks about the 9 championships and being a part of winning football and knowing what winning football looks like. Well, Brinker, my son graduated with honors at BU, and now he's studying for his MCAT. Has he been around surgeons? Yes. Does he know what surgery sort of look like in a waiting room? I mean, in the surgery room? Absolutely. Does he know what it smell like? Absolutely he does. But is he ready to do surgery? No, he's not. Will he be? Eventually, he will be. But is he ready now? No. Same thing here. Yeah, you know what it looks like, but are you ready? Are you ready to see all of that through? Do you know how to see it through? There's one thing to be a part of something. Y'all made that mistake with Brian Callahan because he was a part of something. Don't y'all get it? Don't y'all see the theme here? And I'm really talking to Amy. Don't you see the theme here? Learn on the job. You ain't got time to learn on the job in this league. Those days are over. Unless you have a Jaden Daniels that just hits right away. And even his coach has experience being a head coach. But in this league, there's no more learning on the fly with head coaches. Why? Because owners typically are too impatient for that. Because they want their team winning now. They want to be able to brag. Because that's what it's about. Because all y'all making about the same amount of money. Yeah, one may be worth more than the other. But that's until you sell. Then you reap the benefits of that. But as of now, y'all all making around the same amount of money. So it ain't about, it's just about the bragging rights of winning a championship. And what you're doing and what we're seeing is that you're hiring people that have never done the job. Okay? It worked out for you the first time because you hired Robertson. And then you hired Vrabel. But you had a team ready. That's what everybody forgets. You had a team ready to go. That team, they were just bubbling. They were ready to. If the right coach just stepped in, they were ready to go. And the right coach stepped in. He ended up having his problems later on, but the right coach stepped in. So you were able to get over that. But once we start to see that sort of level out and diminish some, you started to hire people that were new to the job and see what has happened to your franchise. And that's what your fan base is thinking. That's what they're thinking. I'm just repeating what they're thinking and what they call our show and start saying. That's all I'm doing. But here we go again with the Tennessee Titans. So this go around, I hope they get this right. Because if they don't get it right, then who? It seems like Brinker has isolated himself. It really does. I'm not saying that Miss Amy won't, you know, fire him eventually too if he don't get the job done. But as of now, he's been insulated. He's been Teflon Don with everybody. And then he says, I know what winning looks like. I've been around championships. Well, okay, show us. That's all the fan base. They don't want to hear about the damn championships you've been around. I don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. Bring a championship here. Bring winning football here. Since you've been a part of the organization, there hasn't been any winning football.
It's reminiscent to me, perhaps this is a stretch, but it's reminiscent to me of when the Titans hired Brian Callahan and they listed all of the great quarterbacks he worked with. Mm-hmm. He worked with Peyton Manning with the Denver Broncos. Now, I can't recall exactly what Brian Callahan's role was with the Denver Broncos, but it was early in his coaching career, again, if I'm not mistaken. So, one, how much work did Brian Callahan really do with Peyton Manning? And two, do you think Peyton Manning really learned anything from Brian Callahan? Peyton Manning was already a Hall of Fame quarterback by the time Brian Callahan arrived in Denver. So I hear what you're saying, Derek, and that's what I'm thinking. When did the Green Bay Packers win that Super Bowl? 15 years ago, mm-hmm. thereabouts? I don't know what Chad Brinker was doing in that organization. And I don't want to take away from the fact that he was part of a winning organization. Mm-hmm. But how much of a role did you really have in the Green Bay Packers winning the Super Bowl that season? Mike Borgonzi won multiple Super Bowls as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. He was the assistant general manager, right? You have more of a say in what's going on when you're the assistant GM versus, I don't know what the role is, I should have looked it up, that Brinker had when he was with the Green Bay Packers. So it just feels empty. It just feels like, Derek, an empty thing to say, like, hey, I've been around winner, Dave Ziegler, Reggie McKenzie, Mike Borgonzi, they've been around winners too, therefore we know what it takes. It's a nice thing to say. I heard Joe Rexroad say this morning, that it's something that you should absolutely say when you're being hired.
Yes.
During an introductory news conference.
Yes.
It's a different thing to say when you are trying to convince the fans that you know what you're doing.
Absolutely. He couldn't have said it any better, meaning Rexroad. That is something you say when you get hired. And everybody's happy and everybody's elated. Everybody's like, yes, we're going to win a championship. Let's go, Brinker. Let's go. That's what you say then. But when your ass ain't won no games, you can't say that because there's no proof to what you're saying. Yes, there's proof on the other side. But what about the new marriage? There's no proof of what you did, you say you did, in the old marriage. There's no proof in the new marriage. So why are we even reverting back to that? Until you show me proof, then we can start talking about it. A lot of wolf tickets being sold, a lot of them. But this team hasn't been able to get over that hump. They do one thing you think is good, and then they do another thing that sort of sets them back. And it just seems like, I'm not going to say they don't know what direction they want to go in, because I'm sure they do. They're getting paid a lot of money, and I'm sure they're smart enough. But just because you're getting paid a lot of money and you're smart enough doesn't mean that the road that you're traveling, you are the one that needs to be traveling down that road with this team.
One texter says, have Chad and Mike been a part of more Super Bowls or more Titans wins? That's a good question. By the way, David Janes tells me that Chad Brinker was a scouting assistant at the time that the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl. Willie, you did not have an opportunity yesterday to address the fact that the Titans fired Brian Callahan to begin with. I want you to take a few moments to share your thoughts on that.
Well, one thing to add to what Derek said about Chad Brinker, like I said, it would not have mattered. We've got Jack White. We've got the pump-up video playing here. They're testing it out. It's working properly, by the way. This place is really an awesome place, Scotiabank Arena. But what I thought was interesting was not that he started talking about the Super Bowls, because I would have too. But what he didn't do, Brinker, if he's going to do the talking, he should have taken more accountability. He's the common thread. He's the guy that brought in Callahan, Borgonzi. Like, he's the common thread. So I would have given it a little bit more passion of, hey, this is on me. The buck stops with me. I'm the guy trying to put this system together, and we haven't gotten there. I didn't hear that quite as much as I would have liked to. And as far as Callahan goes, you know, there was a lot of discussion. They admitted there was a lot of discussion at the end of last season as to whether they should have moved forward for Callahan or not. But they moved forward with Callahan. And not only did they do that, they allowed Callahan to have a huge, it appeared to me, role in the process of evaluating the players, including the quarterbacks. And so he was the guy that jumped in there. Remember his quote the day after the draft that I almost flipped my lid on, where he said, hey, when you find your guy, it doesn't matter. The other picks don't matter. He's the coach. So it sounded to me like they were saying, hey, you like this, Brian? Yeah, I like this. Let's go with Cam Ward. They doubled down on Brian Callahan only to do a 180 after six games. I mean, that's on Brinker. You committed to this guy. So all your questions, Adam, I think are valid questions about, you know, what was his real role with all these great things on his resume. But they hired him, and then they doubled down on him. And now all of a sudden they've decided he's an idiot. Basically, it's all his fault we weren't seeing growth. There's a breakdown there.
By the way, Derek, Jeremy in Clarksville on our text line says, my uncle was a high-paid diesel mechanic. I was around him a lot. I am not a highly skilled diesel mechanic.
Absolutely. So there we go. This thing has the potential to, and now that I'm looking at it, you know, the interim hire, I think this is a good thing. I really do think this is a good thing. Because I hope now that just let McCoy coach. Just let him coach. There was a reason, and I kept bringing this up, like, there was a reason they didn't give a number to wins and losses. Because they wanted to, in their interpretation, they wanted to interpretate what development was. That's what it was. It didn't have, he could have went, because this organization has done it before. They did it to Malarkey. So when you do it to a guy that's winning, had a winning senior, you end up still firing him? That says something. So when you come into the season and you don't give a, okay, this is what we need to see, people. Right here. Not just growth and development. That's so broad. It is so broad. Yeah, I want to see. Of course you want to see your rookie quarterback develop. You want to see that. But what does it look like to us? Tell us what does it look like. Either you didn't know what it looked like, and I'm not buying that. I'm not like other people. I'm not buying that you don't know, because you do know. That's a billion-dollar company. You do know. Or you said that so that then you can make your own determination on what development was. Either way, because you talked about how the defense was good and they developed. Okay, they developed. You talked about how the special teams developed and they're good. Okay. So if those two areas are developing, then it's up to us to say whether this team as a whole, because the offense ain't doing what we paid you to do. Well, he gave up his play calling. And if you really wanted to give him an opportunity, you would have said, Bo Hardaway, we're going to let Bo do this for about 6-7 games and see how this goes and let him manage. I'm not saying they shouldn't have fired. That's not what I'm saying, people. I'm not. But when you talk about developing at the beginning of the season, you don't tell anybody what it looks like. And then when they ask you the question again and you really don't give us an answer to it, but yet and still you tell us the same thing you did at the beginning of the season, we're not believing you. There is no evidence of all this stuff that you talked about. None. No evidence of patience. And the fan base is like, good. I'm glad they didn't show patience. I'm glad he out here. But there's no evidence of patience. There's no evidence of winning, even though you won that 9 Super Bowls. Is that what he said? 9 or 6?
9.
9 Super Bowls and a bunch of winning. And that is great that happened. And that's what you sold the fan base when you got here. And you owe it to the fan base to start showing them that. You owe it to other guys that have played at that organization to start showing them that. What you said. You want the players to do it. You figure out a way to do it then. That's all.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will take your reaction to Chad Brinker, mostly Chad Brinker. Mike Borgonzi was also there at the news conference at 7:30 last night. We'll take your reaction to that and the fallout from the Titans' firing of Brian Callahan. 615-737-1025. One note, speaking of Mike McCoy, he held his news conference earlier today. No shocker here. Bill Callahan, no longer a member of the Titans organization as well, but the rest of the coaching staff remains in place. Bo Hardegree will continue to call the plays for the Tennessee Titans. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, one person was conspicuous by her absence yesterday. Where was Amy Adams Strunk? We discuss that next. 615-737-1025. DVD is presented to you by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com.
Where is she right now?
Where? What do you mean?
Where's Amy Adams Strunk right now?
Yeah, she's at her home.
Why isn't she here?
I'm here representing her.
Boy, did I get a kick out of that last night from Paul Gaharsky and Chad Brinker at the post-Brian Callahan firing news conference at 7:30 last night. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Amy Adams Strunk, not at the news conference, not a surprise. As Chad Brinker said in that news conference, he has been empowered by Amy Adams Strunk to speak on her behalf. And I've seen a lot of differing opinions on this. There are people who have said Amy Adams Strunk absolutely needs to be there. She needs to show her face. She needs to be held accountable for the dysfunction of her franchise. Then there are other people who have said, who cares? Here's where I stand on the Amy Adams Strunk thing, Willie and Derek. And you guys can let me know if you agree or disagree. If she wants to be an absentee owner, fine, but you must remain an absentee owner. So stay out of football decisions. I've heard Paul Gaharsky, speaking of Paul Gaharsky, I've heard Paul Gaharsky say this, and I agree. Stay out of the head coach hiring process. The coach will be presented to you when the hiring is made. Shake his hand, meet his family, take some photos. Stay out of it. And hopefully when, this team becomes competitive again, don't be glad-handing at all of the tailgates, and don't be willing all of a sudden to answer questions. Stay out of it. If you want to be an absentee owner and empower Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi to speak for you and do with whatever they want to do with the organization, that's fine. I've got no problem with that. Of course, Titans fans don't trust Chad Brinker, but she trusts him apparently. That's fine. But if you are out, stay out. Do not come back when things are going well. Stay out. Derek, do you agree with me?
I understand the sentiment. I do. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just being a realist. It ain't gonna happen. It ain't. When this team starts winning, because I believe they will, it may not be with Brinkert and Borgonzi or Brinkert or whoever, but I believe they will start winning. She's going to be front. That's just the way it is. It's her team, you know, her dad. This is his baby. And now she's taking it over. And if she's not around now, best believe if they start winning Super Bowls or start really going at it and being more competitive and winning the division, you're going to see more of her. That's just the way it is. And I'm neither here to say it's wrong or not. But what I will say is this. As an owner, you don't have to be Jerry Jones. You don't have to be, you know, any one of these other owners that you know that wants to be, you know, just as much a part of what's going on than the players do, and the players are, or the coaches are. You could be that. I mean, you could be that if you want to. So it doesn't matter to me either or. But my thing is, there were decisions made this season. This season, there were some real, like, hard decisions made. And I'm just talking about when the season started. I'm not talking about before the season. Y'all traded away a young potential. He's one of your starters. Bright. Yes, he had some things to clean up, but he's bright. Future looked pretty good. Y'all traded him away and didn't nobody from upper management speak. You didn't. The GM didn't. The supreme ruler of football didn't. Nobody. And then your coach gets fired. You fired him. Didn't you? Again, this is what I'm sure this is what your fan base is thinking. And I honestly, I'm a part of that fan base too. Wasn't you around when Callahan got hired? I think she was, if I'm not mistaken. She was around when Callahan got hired. And I'm sure she probably didn't do all the legwork, and she shouldn't have to. That's why she hired Brinker. And then Brinker Boganzi.
If I recall correctly, she was at the news conference when the Titans hired Brian Callahan, but she was not present when, I don't even remember, I assume that the Titans held a news conference when they fired Rand Carthon. I don't think she was there for that. She was not there when Mike Borgonzi was introduced as the new GM. I do remember that as well. So, anyway.
So, you had opportunities to be front and center because this is your organization. I understand what Brinker's saying. She has delegated that responsibility to me, so I speak for the owner. The fans don't want to hear you. They want to hear Amy. They want to hear the owner of her team. I don't mind. I mean, either way, it's like, you know, either you're there or you're not. I'm not going to make a big fuss about it. I would have liked to see you there, but then y'all would have probably made it worse. So it's good that she was not there. Because I'm not sure, I'm not talking about her aptitude, but I'm not sure under that setting that it would have went right. I'm just not. So maybe it was good that she wasn't there. But I'm sure she will at the end of the season. I'm hoping now she's going to have at least 3 months to formulate why she chose or why they chose to move on from Brian Callahan. She's going to be able to give us, you know, articulate that to us. So I will be waiting on that day.
Willie, let me read you something from Paul Kaharsky. He tweeted this last night. It got a lot of reaction. His reasons as to why Amy Adams Strunk should be at a press conference about yet another firing. City and state funding, major portion of Titans' new stadium while she feels terrific product and faces no consequences. When proxies face the difficult questions, things remain easy for her. She loved tailgating when they were winning, now hides when they lose. In parentheses, front runner. If she actually had to think these things through and answer for them, maybe it would be uncomfortable in a way where she'd really like to avoid such things in the future, but knew hiding was not possible, and it could help prompt better processes and decisions that could impact results. Certainly worth a shot, given how it's gone with her in hiding. Heightened accountability, never bad. Why defend / protect her? Your thoughts?
All good points. But this keeps coming back to the same thing. Because she's never going to do it, like Derek said. She's going to continue to do what she wants to do. To my knowledge, she's never really taken open questions from the media for an extended period of time. It's been shielded, right? It's been one-on-one with an in-house interviewer. So she has been protected from having to do that. And that wouldn't be a big thing, but it's very clear that she is making these decisions. She's the one that, you know, unless somebody tells me differently, this is another part of it. Every time they make a big move like this, and I mean a big move, and they've made a lot of them, it's been well chronicled, you know, firing Robinson, and then hiring Ran Carthon, and then firing Vrabel, and then hiring Borgonzi. The same thing happens. People ask, hey, who made the decision? Was it Amy? Firing the special teams coach. Remember Vrabel a couple years ago, D-Mace, had to fire the special teams coach on a Tuesday. He just showed up and said, oh, by the way, we fired the special teams coach after they had that bad thing. But nobody seems to be willing to admit, or everybody's put in that weird position where you have to out the owner and say, yep, you know what? Amy did it. I didn't really want to do it. Like, Vrabel came close to doing it. You know, he wanted to do it. You could sense it. He was saying it without saying it. But basically saying, yeah, the owner, this is what the owner wanted. I got to do it. It happened with the Yankees when I was growing up all the time. George Steinbrenner used to do that all the time, even more than Amy Adams. But George Steinbrenner at least would say, yeah, I did it. I made the change. That's what I think Amy Adams at least would be able to take the heat off of Brinker and Borgonzi and said, yeah, I thought we needed to make a change. She rarely has done that. She has done it occasionally. But this is what gets me every time. Chad Brinker is kind of wishy-washy about it. Yeah, it was collaborative. Yeah, we always meet. It's very secretive about it. But here is the central question I always say. Who is she talking to? I don't know.
Brinker. What?
She's talking to him only?
That's the way it seems.
There are other people in that football office. Like, who is the inner circle where they're sitting around going, yeah, we gotta do this? Is it her on her own? Or is it the other way where Brinker's going to her and saying it's time to – but it looks bad on Brinker because they put their coach up there on the podium the day after they drafted Cam Ward and turned down an enormous haul from the Giants. And they let their coach, who was clearly out on the limb, and everybody kind of saw it, but they allowed him go up and say, yeah, I think he's the man. He's going to do it, and it didn't even matter what the other offers were. How ridiculous is that? That is a complete two-sided coin that doesn't add up. So it just the chain of command is way out of whack.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction. Trevor Maddich will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on everything that's been going on with the Tennessee Titans. We will talk to Trevor coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, in the wake of the Titans firing Brian Callahan, that makes it six of the past eight quarterbacks drafted number one overall, and each of the past four, to have their head coaches fired during their rookie seasons. Cam Ward, Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, Trevor Lawrence, Baker Mayfield, and Jared Goff, the two who did not experience that. Joe Burrow and Kyler Murray. What is the common denominator between all of those situations?
I would say impatience. It can't be that all of those coaches were horrible coaches that needed to be fired when they were fired, for goodness sake. Let them have some time to develop the quarterback that they were assumingly had a hand in drafting, for goodness sake. But right now we're in such a microwave society. We're in such a social media driven society where you post something on social media, and if you don't get immediate likes, then it's a failure. And 5 minutes later, you're desperately posting something new and trying to get immediate likes. And we're in a sugar high culture right now, and I think we're seeing that play out in sports. Now, there are times when you do need to move on. You know, if a head coach is, in this case, Brian Callahan, if a head coach is not moving the team in the right direction, if they are going in the wrong direction, if they have lost the locker room, if they are clearly overmatched, if they're not up to the job, well, then, yes, I see that. But I can't imagine that all those coaches were not up to the job. It just seems like there's a combination of bad hires and impatient owners.
Mike McCoy, the interim head coach for the Tennessee Titans, and he's got 11 games with this group, and he does have a track record of success with some notable quarterbacks. He's been around the league for a long time. Trevor Lawrence had success under McCoy's tutelage with the Jaguars. Of course, Phillip Rivers, when McCoy was a head coach for the Chargers. Hell, even Tim Tebow had his best success with Mike McCoy as the offensive coordinator with the Denver Broncos. What can we expect from Mike McCoy, and do you think that we can see a better version of Cam Ward over these next 11 games?
Well, hey, you know, I watched Tom Brady play a lot of football on TV, and I've actually watched him broadcast football games too. I want to throw my hat in the ring because of my association with Tom Brady, and so there you go. The question is, what did you do to help contribute to those people? Or what were you able to learn by watching those who did have a hand in the development of those great quarterbacks? And how do you plan to implement that yourself? And I think that Mike McCoy has a couple of advantages here as an interim coach. And one of them is that he's a former head coach, and that gives him the mistakes that he himself made, the lessons that he learned, things that he would do differently, things that he would not do at all, things that he didn't do that he will do now. Those are things that you tend to do in your second job when you fail at your first job. And as I listened to him in the press conference today, Mike McCoy, I was impressed, because what's the first job of a head coach? First job is not to be a brilliant play caller. The first job of a head coach is to be a strong leader. There is one guy driving the bus, and that's it. And anybody that doesn't like it needs to fear the coach if they don't pull in the same direction. That's important. The leadership is important. Coach needs to set the culture. And I like the way that he talked about culture. As a matter of fact, that's one of the first things he kind of talked about in the press conference, was togetherness. And the second thing he talked about was accountability. Those two things are part of setting a culture. And then you set expectations and accountability to those expectations. And have we seen that under Brian Callahan? You know, I think what we saw was the coach doing the play calling and head coaching for the first time, and he wasn't up to it. It's even hard for me to blame Brian Callahan for things going the way that they did, because the initial hire was the problem with Callahan. It wasn't the firing. It was the initial hire. He wasn't ready for this moment. He may be down the road, but he wasn't now. And McCarthy talks like a guy who understands the job of the head coach is not to have a decided schematic advantage. The job of the head coach is to get everybody pulling the wagon in the same direction and fearing the consequences if they don't. And I liked the steady nature of Mike McCoy's presentation in this press conference. It's not the press conference, but I was kind of happy with what I heard.
We're talking with Trevor Maddich, ESPN NFL and college football analyst. Now, Trevor, I hear you, and you're right, and I thought about it. I'm like, man, maybe this was the right thing to do from the standpoint of naming McCoy the coach, because he has had experience. And in a situation like this, you don't have time for that other stuff. You need somebody that's done it. And he was successful at a point, but it's to at least stabilize whatever's going on. But with that being said, knowing where this team is at, even the front office, can he even do it? Because we know one thing we know is that when you fire a head coach, typically you're doing it at the end of the season. You hire your new coach, and he has a whole offseason to build a culture. And sometimes even that doesn't work at the beginning. So I'm not sure how this is going to work. I know McCoy is going to give it everything he has, but I'm not sure it's going to work because he hasn't been able to build, you know, the culture that he wants. It takes time. And right now, he don't have any time to do that. He has to hit the ground running with whatever they have in place now.
Now, Derek, I agree with you. When I talk about culture, I'm talking about ideally this is what you want your head coach to do. It's one of the things that he needs to do. But you're right. It takes time, and it takes bringing in the right players that fit your culture and all those things. You don't just wave a wand and all of a sudden you've got a good culture. But there are a couple of things that he can do if the players are willing to respond to it. And one of those things is for the players to kind of reset, to kind of wipe clean what's happened so far this year mentally, and then move forward with excellent preparation. Excellent preparation. Jeff Simmons said that last week's practice before the Raiders game was just a terrible week of practice, right? And, well, they played that way too. Well, they're capable of practicing with excellence, even if they're not capable of going to a Super Bowl this year because of talent. No matter how talented each individual Titans player is, he is capable of having excellent preparation. That means focus on everything he does. It doesn't mean run around full speed all the time. But it means that whatever you do as a walkthrough, as a half-speed drill, as a full-speed drill, whatever it is, you have urgency on each individual rep as if the Super Bowl depended on that rep. And that's easy to do for a drill or two or a practice. It's really hard to do over the course of an entire season. And this team will be a lot better if they stop doing things that hurt themselves, mm-hmm. and that means practice with more urgency. So that's the first thing really that we'll need to see evidence of. We need to see evidence that they've practiced with excellence and with focus and urgency, and that'll show up if they play in the game up to their capability and they force the opponent to beat them instead of just making mistakes and allowing the opponent easy plays to basically beat themselves. And so that's something that they can get better at right now, and that's the part of the culture that Mike McCoy can instill now if the team leaders will take it and run with it, and if the entire team, instead of checking out because now, you know, the coach didn't change and all that, if the entire team will say, okay, right now we're going to do our part to try to turn this thing around, and clearly they have not had that attitude up until now.
Trevor Maddux is with us from ESPN. Trevor, around the league, you know a lot of people. It's the number one thing from 50,000 feet that gets reported is how often the Titans in the last 2-3 years have made major, major moves. Do you think that is a deterrent for them when they get around to holding a coach, assuming that McCoy does not retain the job, which is not impossible, right? They're trying to leave a little bit of space for that. But how much do you think their reputation has been hit because of the quick trigger here?
Yeah, it's definitely been hit. You don't want to come into a situation where if things don't turn around quickly enough, like microwave quickly enough, that you're going to get bounced. But at the same time, there are only 32 of these jobs. And every given year, what, five or so, seven come up for, you know, come open. And so, you know, you tend to not say, yeah, I don't want that job. I'm just going to sit back and wait for a better one. And that better one might not show up. You know, you got to kind of walk through a door when it's open. So I think that helps them. But I think from an ownership standpoint, I don't want to compare Amy Adams Strunk to Daniel Snyder, former owner of the Redskins, at all, because he had all kinds of problems that she doesn't have. But I do want to say this, that there came a point during the couple of decades that Snyder owned the Redskins and it became clear that nobody could win there. No coach, no first-round draft choice, nothing. It just wasn't going to happen because of the culture that was established by the owner down through the organization. And at one point, I actually said on local media in D.C. that at this point, and I remember the quote, at this point, Dan Snyder needs to hire a great GM, sign a bunch of blank checks, and then move to New Guinea. Don't pick up a newspaper or turn on a television. Just fish and shear sheep. And at the end of the year, someone can tell him what happened, right? Because owners, I have never known an owner to help a team win with their involvement. I have only known owners to help teams win by setting expectations, holding, you know, the executives to and coaches to accountability, and then stepping aside, keeping track of everything that's happening, but letting the football people run the show. And when you look at the best owners in the league, you look at Bob Kraft of New England. You know, that's what he did. Bill Belichick and the people in the front office, he let those people do what was going on. He knew every detail as to what was going on, but he didn't meddle with it. That was part of the problem with Dan Snyder. that every time something happened and Dan Snyder made a change, it taught the players in the locker room that we're all in it for ourselves individually, and we're not really a team because there's all kinds of changes that are happening at all times, and I just need to take care of my own. And that's a really bad way for a locker room to develop.
Trevor, you've got a quarterback who's young. He's taken a lot on his shoulders. He's valiantly trying to fight through this with not a lot of help. Now we got this going on. If you were a coach brought in or thinking about coming in, saying, hey, well, you know, I go after that job. I want to do some things with Cam Ward. Would you be confident that they would give you the time to fix what is right now very broken?
I would hope so. But at the same time, that would be part of the interview process, right? I mean, the
yeah, who's interviewing who? Just say, question.
Yeah, that's right. And both would interview each other. And the truth of it is, while there's very few of these jobs available, if you want the best coaches, you need to convince them that you're good for them. I mean, look at Clark Lee. This is a college example, but Clark Lee, the head coach of Vanderbilt football, he came as from defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. He's a Vanderbilt guy. He could have gone anywhere. He could have stayed at Notre Dame and competed for national championships as a coordinator, or he could have gone to basically any team he wanted to year after year as availability came open. But he chose to come back to Vanderbilt, and I had to think, I don't know this for a fact because I don't know the internal workings of his interview process, but I had to think that he was interviewing Vanderbilt as much as Vanderbilt interviewed him, and that he would have demanded from Vanderbilt certain ways of supporting him in the program, of investing money in certain specific places and allowing him time to be able to do what he needed to do and space to do what he needed to do in addition to that support. And I'm sure that if Vanderbilt had not told Clark Lee what he needed to hear from a standpoint of what he needed to turn Vanderbilt around, he wouldn't have come. And so that's the same kind of thing we're seeing now with the Titans. I mean, the Titans can get, if they make the right choices, a very good head coaching candidate and hire that guy. But they will need to as much prove to the coach that they are worthy of him as he is worthy of them if that coach really is that capable of a coach.
Trevor Mathich has been our guest on D-Mates, Ving, and Adonik. He joins us every Tuesday, and he is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, guys.
615-737-1025. Predators GM Barry Trotz will join us coming up next. The Predators are in Toronto to take on the Maple Leafs. Puck drop at 6. We will talk to Barry Trotz coming up next. Willie Adonik, Derek Mason, Adam Ving, 1025 The Game.